you don't have to record this part of it. Not the polished and prepared part that Kathy will do. Hi. I'm Ashley Rice, if you don't know me, and I get to serve as your speaker coordinator. So I've been talking with all of the people that we get to hear a talk. So today I get to introduce my friend, Kathy Holly. Kathy is the wife to Steve Holly, who was head pastor here for quite a while and now serves in the senior ministry. But Kathy herself was one of the founding members of IBC, so if you have any questions about IBC, she probably has the answer. But that also means that she has been serving in a lot of places all over IBC. Right now, you see her in Teammates. She teaches women's Bible study on Thursday mornings. She serves in women's ministry. She's the mom to 4 adult kiddos. So she is kept quite busy in her life. But when I had asked her what book she was currently reading, this was one I hadn't heard of, and so I'll be interested. I got to talk to you about it sometimes. It looks really interesting. It's called Abide in Christ by Andrew Murray, and I've been thinking a lot about the word abide recently. So that sounds really interesting to me. And then if she could go back to when she was in our stage of motherhood, she would tell herself that even as you're helping your children grow up, a lot of your parenting is really about you growing up and growing in dependence on God. Which, you know, I imagine if you look back, even if you've only had a baby for a few months, if you look back at who you were pre-baby and who you are now, you probably see a lot of growth. You see a lot of areas where you've had to rely on the Lord and areas that you didn't even know you were weak in that all of a sudden have come to light. So thank you for that wisdom. And Kathy, we're happy to welcome you up.
Can you hear me? Oh, it's so nice when it works, isn't it? Well, I have to say, I often feel this way when I'm speaking. I'm enjoying so much just sitting and talking to you all. I wish I didn't have to get up here and talk to everybody all at once, because I'd much rather be having one-on-one conversation with you. But thank you for this opportunity. It really is truly a privilege to be with you ladies. And what a wonderful group you have. Oh my goodness, I see lots of familiar faces and lots of people I wish I could get to know better. But we are here for a topic that I think is going to be very valuable tonight. It's called United in Hope. And I just want to say to start with, the person you need to hear from most tonight is not me, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ. So let me just open in prayer, okay? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be the one to speak through me this evening. And Lord, would you give us your heart and eyes to see you and to see others the way you do, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this topic, United in Hope, is very timely, isn't it? Because on the one hand, our culture tells us, accept everything, accept everybody, accept all their philosophies and ideas. And on the other hand, we often hear and see people gravitating toward others who think just like them, and it almost becomes a tribal mentality. So we want to have a more accurate biblical view of what it means to be united in hope. So picture with me, if you will, a group of women seated in a living room. There's a pile of gifts on the hearth, and from the mantle, there's strung a beautiful banner that says something like, "A little honey is on his way," and there's a cute little picture of Winnie the Pooh in the honey pot, and the mother-to-be is seated in the seat of honor. And each of the women is holding a small card on which they are to write their advice. So here's Marge, and she's the mother of 2 kids. She's got lots of energy. Life's going great. She's going to tell that mom, have fun. Motherhood is all about having fun. Well, next to her is Jackie. And Jackie is recalling the struggles of her first 8 months with a newborn that she could not hold or take care of because she was dealing with postpartum depression. And she's probably going to pen words, something about take good care of your own health, even as you're caring for your baby. And then there's Alice. And Alice gave up a career that she loved to be a stay-at-home mom. So what do you think she's going to write about? She's going to pen a few words about seeing motherhood as a very honorable profession. Well, next to her, Mary's heart is aching as she recalls the early days of her motherhood because she lost her first son, Michael, when he was just a couple of days old. So she will tell that mom, please cherish every moment with your child. And then Debbie's husband had lost his job, and they're scraping to make ends meet. And she's going to say, if you need some tips on how to save money, here's my number. It probably had something to do with cloth diapers and making your own baby food. And she's probably got coupons in her card to that mom. So in all their advice, there'd be sweet notes of trusting the Lord and seeing their children as a gift. But, you know, each of those has a very different perspective, doesn't it? Each of those women are walking a path of motherhood wearing very different shoes. So our differences in background, education, culture, our finances, our homes are different. Then you add into that oftentimes a spouse whose personality and perspective is different. And then God gives you this very unique child. So talk about differences. Aren't there plenty? And we add to that, think of all the issues about parenting that come up in our conversations. Would you list some with me? What are some of the things that tend to be divisive? What are some of the general topics? You don't have to give us your opinion on it, okay? Just tell us the topic. What are some of the topics that we tend to divide over? Yes.
Breastfeeding,
bottle feeding. What else?
Sleep.
I heard that like it. There was a chorus on sleep. That's a big one, right? When do you wean, right? Discipline, that is a hot topic, isn't it? What else comes to mind?
Pacifier.
Oh, wait, a pacifier, did I hear that?
Yeah.
What did you say, Ashley?
Schedules,
right. How about diet? Mm-hmm. Some of you, I have a feeling, have a very strong opinion about the very best stroller, okay? Yeah, we have strong opinions, don't we? And then you add sleep deprivation to that and put these women together in a room and ask them to be unified. That is a tall order. So let me just start by saying that being united in hope is actually a fact. I love this definition of unity. It's diverse individuals working together towards, the most natural thing to say is working towards a common, what? A common goal. That's what we usually say. I love this definition because look what it adds. Or truth. I love that. It's diverse individuals working toward a common truth. So for Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, this isn't just an ideal to reach for. It is a reality. The beginning of Ephesians, the first chapter of Ephesians says this. You also, when you heard the word of truth, so let's just pause there, heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? It is the truth of what we've referred to as the gospel. It is the truth that I cannot live a perfect life. Jesus Christ lived the perfect life that I can't. I deserve death. He died in my place. And when I put my trust in him, he takes my sin, gives me his righteousness, and welcomes me to live forever with him. So we heard the word of truth, it says in Ephesians 1, and you believed. That's all about trusting that. Trust in Christ for salvation. You also, when you heard the word of truth and believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So when a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, they have the Holy Spirit, and so does every other believer in Jesus Christ. And it also says in that first chapter that we have been adopted into his family. He is our Father. Now, some of us think of that as some kind of a... That is a beautiful analogy, isn't it? But it's more than an analogy. It is the reality. As a matter of fact, I want to propose to you that that is actually more real than your biological family. You have a family that's going to last forever. Really, our biological family is a model of that grander family with God as our Father. So let's think about what God did in order for us to be part of his family. Just think about that for a minute, because we call him Father, but think about what he did in order through Jesus Christ in order for us to be part of his family. So that is, I'm going to tell you up front, that's my goal for us tonight, is to have his heart and his eyes to see each other the way he does, united in hope. I have to say, early in my parenting days, I think there were times that I didn't see parenting as with other Christian friends as a team sport. I may have occasionally seen it as like an archery competition, like I was trying to hit the bullseye. Can anybody relate to that? You know, I and so then it becomes a competition. I have got to hit the bullseye better than you are. and I use other people as a point of comparison. It is a team sport, isn't it? We are a family. I know many of you were here for the spring conference with Glenda Marshall, so I want you all to do Bethany proud here, because I'm going to ask you a question. What did she say, talking about everyday faithfulness, what did she say were the three tools that God gave us to stay faithful? Anybody remember prayer. The three things? I heard one, prayer.
Church.
The word. I heard the third one.
Church.
Bethany, they passed. Prayer, the word, and church. Did you hear that? The church, this community is one of the tools that God is using for us to stay faithful. So your sisters need you and you need them, right? So we are also united in one hope. Well, that hope is more than wishful thinking. It is a confident expectation in Christ. We are headed together towards the same destination of living forever with Jesus Christ. I love this version in the message of Ephesians 4:3 because it shakes it up a little bit for me to think of it in terms of our parenting together and being moms together. You were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. I just have this picture. If you have more than one child, you've probably been in that position of, come on, kids, stick together, hold hands, right? That's the picture that I get with this, too. How do we get on that path? Well, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. That's how we get on the path. But let me say, once we're on the path, and that path, it says, is a narrow path, the path that leads to life. The path that does not lead to life is very wide, and it's all around us going the opposite direction. So do you see why we need each other? We need to lock arms and walk together. But once we're on that path, have you noticed we're wearing a wide variety of shoes? Okay? So some of us are in sandals, sneakers, stilettos. There's a lot of variations in our parenting, isn't there? It looks pretty different the way we're walking. Some of us are sprinting. Some of us are somersaulting. Some of us might be skipping. Some of us might be doing a crab walk backwards. Not all methods of walking that path are equal. Some are more effective than others. But we're on that path together. Now, there are some things that are really obvious that cause division. Within a group of women, especially when we're talking about parenting issues. I'm not going to address some of the more obvious ones. We're going to go from the principles that we're talking about to some really practical things. You already know gossip and slander, incredibly divisive. You already know that showing favoritism is incredibly divisive. You know that criticism is incredibly divisive. But I want us to look at a couple of things that God just put on my heart that have been helpful to me. And these are things that I'm still working through, too. So these are the five things that we're going to look at in the next few minutes. We're going to look in the mirror. And I know on your paper I have embrace the differences. But as I worked on this, I like this better. Embrace with grace. We're going to embrace the differences with grace. Seek to understand. Support through prayer. And return to your common denominator. That's where we're headed. So let's do this one first. We're going to spend the most time on this one. Look in the mirror, because we got to kind of figure out how to get that log out of our own eye before we take the speck out of somebody else's when we're looking at being united in hope. So parenting is hard. Parenting is important. Your role as a mom, are there days that you just feel the weight of that? And so what often happens, there's some emotions that I think begin to creep in because it is so hard and we realize the importance of it. I want to address three things that I think we often find in the mirror, at least I have. See if any of you can relate to any of these. And I think if we identify these, it will help us a lot in being united in hope. The first one is fear. I'm going to talk about fear, pride, and idolatry. So the first one, fear. We're afraid, and there's a lot of things to be afraid of. Why don't you list some with me? Let's brainstorm a little bit. What are some fears that you have in being a mom? You all have them. Go ahead and say them.
My kid drowning.
Like, afraid of a child drowning.
Not good enough.
Not good enough? Is that what you said? Oh, my goodness. Couldn't we all say that? There's a fear of not being good enough. What else?
Leading them astray.
Yeah.
Kidnapping.
I remember being afraid to put my diaper boxes out on the curb because somebody was going to know I had a baby. Those are real fears. What else? Anybody afraid they're going to mess the kid up? Like, there are so many things to be afraid of, and it can grip our hearts in ways that actually cause division between us, because what do? We're looking to be validated. We're looking to find out, is what I'm doing okay? Is it good enough? And we look around us and we tend to compare. Well, I have great news for you. There is a verse that I just find to be a real treasure to me. It's 1 John 4:18. It's so simple. It's a good one for you to memorize. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. So we can all just take a sigh of relief, because our love is not perfect. And you guys have this. Your theme verse for this year is absolutely one of my favorites. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His love is perfect. It's perfect for you, Mom. It's perfect for your children. And so we can rest in that. You think through decisions. One that came to my mind is, you know, trying to decide about vaccines when you have a newborn. And if you make a decision one way, you think about consequences. You think about a decision another way, and you think about consequences. That is a fearful thing. The perfect love of the Lord casts out fear. So, you know, what do? We research, we pray, we talk to people, we gather information, and ultimately we trust the Lord, don't we? And we let go of the fear. We should replace it with faith and belief that His love is greater. So fear is one thing that interferes in our relationships. I think another thing is pride. Because we're comparing to other people, and sometimes we think, oh no, I'm not doing as well as they are. I'm not doing everything that mom is doing. And then we can go to the opposite extreme, and we start working so hard and start thinking, okay, well, I think I got it figured out now. And we can assume that there's one way of doing things, and it's our way. Have you ever been on either the speaking or listening side of this? In our family, we always... Now, it's one thing to say that to your kids. That's a really good thing to say that to your kids. But when you're saying that in a group of women, what does that project? In our family, we always... Well, then I've just kind of said, this is the rule. And if you're not following it, then you're obviously not measuring up, right? At least that's what we tend to hear, isn't it? So we want to be careful about that. I think it is so funny, the things that we tend to take pride in. If you're really honest... Did anybody feel a little bit proud if your child walked before, you know, like a year, like that was some badge of honor and that was a projection? Or if they talked earlier maybe than your friends, it's a projection of how things are going to go in their life, you know, because we want them to be successful. Romans 12 says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. That's pride. Never be wise in your own eyes. I know you all have a desire for that too, but we want to look in the mirror and watch for those things, don't we? And then the third thing is idolatry. So fear, pride, idolatry, all of these become very divisive in our relationships, particularly when we're talking about issues, some of those that we mentioned at the beginning that can tend to be kind of hot button issues, right? So I still remember being in a neighborhood Bible study. We were doing Kelly Mintra's book on No Other Gods. Still remember, all of a sudden, Paula gasped and said, I have made my children an idol. And around that circle of women, there were a lot of stunned faces as we started thinking, you know what? I've done that too. So what happens is, because we said, you know, parenting is so important. I love the way you're here. Obviously, you want to be a good mom. And you're working hard at it. And I did too. I loved my role as a mom. I still love my role as a mom. It's changed a little bit over the years. But we love it so much. Something good that God gave us, that it becomes so important and such a total focus that we can begin to place our joy in that. And then we begin to define our success based on how our child is doing. And then we begin to place our identity in who our child is becoming. And you can see what happens to our heart, right? And you can imagine how that becomes divisive within a group because it becomes more important than God intended it to be. So what's beautiful about that is when we do our best, but ultimately we're trusting God, the perfect love casts out fear, we're not being wise in our own eyes, we're loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, strength, right? Then we're free to love other people, aren't we? It puts it in a right perspective. So I love this quote. I hope this is encouraging to you. I shared this with those of you that are in our Thursday Bible have heard this one before too, because you know I love this. But as we're looking in the mirror, we want to remember, for every look you take at yourself, take 10 looks at Christ. Because doesn't that change our perspective? Because we look at him and we grow in our love for him. And then we love him because he first loved us. He puts that love in our hearts so we're able to look at other people differently. So we're going to look in the mirror. Let's move on. We're going to embrace those differences in other people with grace, the grace that's been given to us. It's like the puzzle pieces that are forming a picture of that love. Those differences are actually very intentional. Because what comes naturally to us is to embrace people who are just like us. It's so much more comfortable, isn't it? If you just think alike, and it just makes it so much easier. But here's what I heard recently that really challenged my thinking. This has really stuck with me. We will never truly understand love without differences. Why? Because true love requires sacrifice. God so loved that he gave. Jesus gave himself. If we're going to love, we have to give ourselves. We have to give up ourselves for the sake of other people. So we realize that if people are just like us and we're not dealing with differences, we aren't really going to understand true love. Let me put this quote up there too. This is a Spurgeon quote. You may usually measure the truth of love by its self-denials and sacrifices. So when we disagree with someone else's perspective on parenting issues, it can feel a little bit like our cat fur is being rubbed backwards. But just think, those differences are teaching me how to love. I'm learning to love more like Christ. I have a friend who, when she and I talk about some challenging situations with people, this is kind of this silly little thing that we do, but it's just a reminder. We just kind of go, grace, grace, grace. This is what we kind of do, just grace, 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 because it's been extended to us, hasn't it? So we just want to embrace other people with the grace that God has shown us. But then we can also work at affirming the good. Have you noticed what usually catches our attention? Isn't this true with our kids? Like, what catches your attention? When they're doing the right thing? No, it's when they're being disobedient, right? That happens in our relationships, too. What catches our attention most of the time are the things that are different that we don't like because they're kind of rubbing us the wrong way or they're making us question our own parenting. But we can look for the good. So let me give you a couple examples. So the mom who's bossy, I mean, like, she bosses her kids. She bosses your kids. She might boss you. She's a little on the bossy side. But then there's a crisis on the playground, and you want that mom. She is decisive, right? She gets things happening right away. So you can look at the other side of that and look at the good. The mom who is kind of sing-song and asks her child permission, would you please obey, kind of thing. I still have a memory of a mom that I was friends with in our early parenting years, and I think she sang all her instructions to her kids. But on the flip side, that's the mom who comes to comfort your child when they pinch their finger in the door. You know, they're right there with oozing this compassion, right? So as we're looking for those things, let's look for ways to affirm each other in those differences. So I can't think of anything that speaks love to us better than when somebody compliments our kids, right? Like, have you had that happen? Like, where somebody came and said, especially if your child's having trouble sharing, and somebody comes and says, I just saw him give up the truck to this other child. You go, it finally happened. And you're celebrating together, right? So, but we need to be affirming each other, don't we? I hope that you'll look for some opportunities to do that. It might be just noticing something about somebody that maybe is different than you. But we need to just keep affirming the good that we see in each other, encouraging each other. Don't you think the same thing is true of our Heavenly Father? Mm-hmm. I mean, just think about how much it means to you when someone affirms your kids. Just think what that means to him. So we want to have his heart as we're united in hope. Okay, let's go on to seek to understand. We all have a longing to be understood, don't we? And ultimately, the Lord is the only one who understands. But we can represent him in our effort to understand. There is an extent to which we will never understand, right? We will never understand. There are people that you can spend a lot of time trying to figure them out, and you're not going to figure them out. But we could be understanding even when we don't understand. So one of my friends and I have this saying. I don't know which one of us started, but it's PAF. We just sometimes say PAF. People are funny. And you know what? I'm one of them. How about you? Have you done some funny things as a mom? Okay, I was thinking about this. Oh, I could give you a long list, but I will tell you. I remember telling my kids they couldn't have guns, and then finding that they had sticks and those became guns. You know, I had all these rules. I remember the time that after Easter, I gathered one of my son's Easter candy and put it in a bowl and put it on the dresser in his room and told him he could have one piece a day. I thought this was a good idea because I wanted him to learn delayed gratification. So, okay. It was not the best idea. I mean, sometimes you just have to laugh at some of our own mistakes as a parent, right? But as we're seeking to understand other people, it doesn't mean necessarily that you are agreeing with them. Okay. Being understanding means I want to know you. And nurturing curiosity is a great way to do that. Asking questions to understand someone better. It's a great way to love somebody. What does it say to them? It says, you matter. I care. I care about your viewpoint. I want to understand how you came to that conclusion. Even if I don't agree with you, I want to understand because I care about you. In our Christian communities, we should have very good, open discussions about differences. They don't have to be debates. We can just seek to understand each other, can't we? So, let's look at what I think is probably the most important one that I'm going to share with you. We're looking in the mirror, we're embracing with grace, we're seeking to understand, but we're supporting through prayer. Is there any better way to love someone than to pray for them? Isn't that a sweet way? Don't you appreciate it when somebody says, I'm praying for you, and especially if they tell you specifically what they're praying? So sometimes we're going to see some differences and we're trying to decide, is this something that I need to address with someone else? And obviously, if it is an issue of sin, if there's something that is totally going against what God has instructed, it would be so unloving not to talk to them. And if you attend church here at Emmanuel, and you've been in listening to Pastor Jesse's sermons recently, you've heard him talking about going after the lost sheep and how to lovingly confront. And if there is a situation where you need to confront somebody, you're going to want to definitely be praying before you do that, right? I've had to do that, and it is hard. And it's a hard way to love someone. But there are times that you love someone too much that you can't keep silent. And besides, we want to love God more than we love the person, right? Our responsibility is first to the Lord. But beyond that, you know, there might be issues of safety or health or mistreatment. Those are times that we have to speak up in loving each other. But often, these aren't moral issues. They're just differences. It could be that you see somebody in their flip-flops on a very slippery slope, and you know they need hiking boots, right? You can see that, and you want to come alongside of them and help them in some way. Well, I'd like to suggest something that I've been learning, and that is, you've heard that phrase, if you see something, say something. Okay, let me suggest this, because that doesn't always work real well. If you see something, pray something. If you see something, pray something. I'm going to tell you honestly where my mind sometimes goes. My mind goes to maybe correcting in my mind what I think needs to be different, what I think they should be doing different. And God has challenged me, the Holy Spirit has convicted me, to realize as we mature, we're going to have more discernment. We're going to see things. And we don't always have to correct those, but we need to pray for them. And what a joy. I was just thinking about someone that I saw who I would say they were more of a consumer than a contributor within a group. And that was concerning to me for that person and for the group. And I prayed about it and I thought, no, I don't need to talk to her. I'm going to pray for her. And over time, I had the joy of watching her become so giving. And you can imagine how happy it made me when I would see her, just because this was just a conversation between me and Jesus. I would see her hosting a shower for somebody or taking a meal. It's like God helped her to grow in that area, right? So it would be easy to criticize, to say something, but when it's just an issue of a difference, then that's a great time to, if you see something, pray something. And then if it is an opportunity to share, I mean, we want to have that kind of conversation where we welcome other people into our life as well, where we're having those conversations of, you know, my son is biting. Have any of you all dealt with that? Can you give me some ideas? We want to have that kind of an atmosphere, don't we? Where we're sharing ideas and helping each other. Because remember, we're united in hope. We're on this path together. And we're cheering each other on. We want each other to be successful in God's eyes as parents. So you can lead by example, inviting people to point out your blind spots. You can enlist a mentor. You have some incredible mentor moms in this room, and you may have some other women that you can turn to too. But I find that as I pray for people, it increases my love for them. And the differences just don't matter. I've noticed that. I've had a few situations lately where I've had like reunions where I'm seeing people, and there have been a group of people that we haven't seen each other in a long time. And, you know, I think back to those things that used to matter, they just don't matter anymore. So see if you can fast forward in your mind and realize that those issues that you're dealing with right now, they're probably not going to be issues eventually. So as we wrap up here, you know, look in the mirror, embrace with grace, seek to understand, support through prayer. And then I love this one. We're going to return to our common denominator, which is Jesus. So I don't mean to cause you all angst in bringing up math, but because if you're like the people in my family, all of my kids called me when they finished their last math class in college. They were so happy to be done. So, but you know how in back in probably fourth grade, you started adding fractions, and you couldn't add 1/4 plus 1/3. Why? They had different denominators, right? Think about that with our differences. But the number on top in that case was the same. They were both 1/4 and 1/3, but you had to have a common denominator in order to put them together, right? That's true with all of us. Jesus is our common denominator, and oh my goodness, what unites us is so much more valuable than anything that separates us. So we are united for good, and that good is not only mutual encouragement to help each other remain faithful, united in hope, it is for good for eternity. So we might as well learn to get along, right? We're going to be together forever. If you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, then you are a sister in Christ. Those moms that I mentioned at the beginning with all those varied backgrounds, well, let me just say that was the Emmanuel Bible Church New Life class over 40 years ago when I was in it. And those moms, many of them moved on, but many of them we remained friends. And I have had the privilege of praying for their kids for many years. As a matter of fact, I was thinking of one mom whose son I am continuing to pray that he will come to know Jesus as a Savior. They have prayed for my kids. I've got women in this room that we've prayed for. I'm looking at some of you. I prayed for a few of you since you've been born. What a gift. I love praying for some of your kids, those of you that I know. I hope you're praying for each other's families. I hope you're praying for each other as a mom. That is an incredible gift. So the reality is we are united in hope for good for eternity. And just as every parent longs to see their children loving each other, that's what our Heavenly Father longs for too. So I want to end by reading Jesus' prayer, and then I'll pray for us. But This is his prayer from John 17, verses 20 to 23. This is right before Jesus died. I want you to hear what was on his heart. I do not ask for these only, he's talking about his disciples that are with him, but for those who will believe in me through their word. Okay, friends, that's us. He was praying for us. We have believed through the testimony of the disciples over the years. It's been passed down, till the truth came to us. Here's what he prayed, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe. And friends, each of you has a watching world who needs Jesus. So that the world may believe that you have sent me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Wouldn't that be a beautiful picture for that to be said, that Jesus' prayer is being answered among you ladies and your friends. Let me just close in prayer for you. Father, thank you for these precious sisters in Christ. Thank you that you are our Father. And Jesus, I'm just reflecting on how you live out all of these so perfectly. The reflection in your mirror is holiness. You embrace us with grace, with all our differences. You love us so sacrificially. You alone fully understand us. And the words of Romans 8 tells us that you are continually supporting us in prayer. So would you please teach us to do that for each other? Thank you for these precious sisters, and we want to delight your heart as we learn to live united in hope, all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Kathy. If you're anything like me, you probably have a lot in your brain right now.